Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
I'd like to begin this morning by reading to you a letter. Now, this is not verbatim a letter. I took the highlights of a very long letter and just want to share those with you. It is a letter of somebody who's writing to another person who's not a Christian, and they're explaining what they see about Christians. Think about that for a moment. If you had to write a friend or a neighbor or a brother or sister and explain Christianity, how might you do that? Listen to what this person writes. They trust God and see Him as the creator of heaven and earth. They engrave His commandments on their minds. They observe and hope in a world to come. They do not commit adultery or lie or steal, and they actually honor their father and mother. They judge uprightly. They do not worship idols. They follow a rule of doing to others as they would have them do to them. See how they love. They love those who even persecute them. They love one another. They do not turn from helping or protecting a widow or an orphan. They see a stranger. They take him into their house and rejoice over him as a brother. Not a brother of the flesh, but a brother of the spirit. When one dies, they come together and help any way they can for the burial. If one is in prison because of Jesus, they all minister to his needs and pay the expenses to set him free. If any among them who is in need, they give and share and will even fast for 2 to 3 days so another can eat. They follow Jesus carefully. And every morning, they give praise and thanks to God for his loving kindness toward them. When was this letter written? 2nd century AD, about 1900 years ago. It was a letter that Aristides of Athens wrote to a Roman emperor named Hadrian. It is a letter that would, could, and should be written about Christians today. Well, today, I want to speak to you about another letter that Paul wrote and how he wants the world and others to see Christians. And we're just going to take a small portion of that letter and kind of focus and zero in on it. It is the 12th and 13th verse of chapter 12. And this is what he says. Christians rejoice in hope. Meaning, Christians are people who should be joyful and happy. Why? Because they just don't see this world. They have hope in the world to come. And they observe that. And we can celebrate and rejoice in hope because we have faith in a creator who's still in charge no matter what happens. Listen to the words of Paul in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of the things we do not see. By faith, we know that God created the heavens and the earth by his voice. Wow. We as Christians need to express and share hope with others. And people know we have that hope by our joy. Are you joyful this morning? Do you realize that the Creator's in charge and He has a plan for you? And someday the best is yet to come because Jesus died on the cross for you. May that hope be a part of your life as you share it with others. Listen to what else Paul says. Christians are patient or will be patient even in tribulation. I don't know what you brought with you this morning in the form of maybe trials and tribulations in your life. Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's somebody you love or somebody you know. But I'm here to tell you, God's still in charge. And listen to a promise that He makes. See, this is what one of the best definitions of being patient I ever heard goes like this. Finding something else to do in the meantime. And what is that finding something else to do? Going to your God, remembering all that He has done for you, and knowing that He makes a promise to you. Listen to another verse that Paul writes in the 5th chapter of Romans. We know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope never fails us because God has poured out His love into our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that says, listen, God makes a promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Pray praise and give thanks. He says He works for the good of all those who love Him. And the Holy Spirit tells us, be patient and wait on the Lord. The other thing the Holy Spirit moves us to and wants us to be very adamant and visual with is our prayer life. Listen to the words of Paul. He says this about Christians, patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I just would like to ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? Would somebody look at you and say, now there's a group of people or there's a person, they pray. If we are visible about anything as Christians, let me tell you, we need to be so visible to everybody in our prayer life, especially our children and our grandchildren and our brothers and sisters. Meaning, when people look at us, they say, boy, before every meal, they do pray. In the morning, you can hear those people praying. In the evening, you can hear them praying. When they gather as a church, boy, they pray all the time. Why? Because we know we have a God that hears us and listens to us and knows our concerns, and He asks us to pray. The disciples never asked Jesus, show us how to heal. No, they say, teach us how to pray. Never teach us how to heal. Teach us how to pray. And we have that wonderful prayer, our Father who art in heaven. This is what people should see about Christians, about you and about me, that we're always praying about everything. Finding something else to do in the meantime, how about prayer? It's so important. Listen to what else Paul says. They contribute to the needs of the saints. Now, let me paraphrase that. They contribute to the needs of each other, not the person on the street corner. Yes, we are to help all in need. We must be concerned and help, if we can, somebody who may be asking. But when it comes to the church, this family, this is what Paul is saying. They contribute to the needs of the saints. Now, how do we do that today? Of course, we do it through the offering. You know that through the offering, you support the ministry right here at 4901 South 177th Street. But you also not only support the ministry at Ablaze, but you support a little school where hundreds of kids gather. And as you worship here on Sunday morning, on Wednesday, children, some strangers, some that parents drop off, come and they worship right here on a Wednesday in this same location. They worship and they learn about Jesus Christ and Lord and pray, and they learn how to pray. And you support that. Now, this family is connected to a family in 146 South Sheridan in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The address here is Tulsa, too, even though it's North Broken Arrow and Broken Arrow School System. As the family worships an admiral in Sheridan, you worship here. Children worship on Wednesday. And together, there are groups on the web that gather for worship. We are one big family. We are a church, and we support one another. And as a family and as a church, worshiping in 2, 3, 4 different locations, guess what? We support the Oklahoma District through our tithe. And they support churches that are in need. And that a portion of that goes to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod across the board. And people are supported throughout the world, spreading the word of God, contributing to the needs of the saints is done by you. And I want to get you a little personal side note to this. There was a family right here among us, here at Ablaze, that traveled probably the farthest distance to worship, and the car broke down. A family at 146 South Sheridan, part of this family, heard about it and donated a van, but the van fell through. It broke down and couldn't be used. So another family heard about a family here. Another member from 146 South Sheridan, where they worship, heard about a family here and said, I want to donate a car. And they donated a car. So that family who couldn't come to church anymore could now come to church. I'm so proud. It's almost as if God says, when there's a need, the family comes together. That's part of His plan. They contribute to the needs of the saints. And I want to commend you. You do that. And people out there need to see how the church takes care of their own. And the last thing Paul says, and they seek to show hospitality. Now, in the Greek, hospitality is two words, not one, two. One is affection, friendship, and the other is stranger. Now, years ago, they didn't all have all the inns and hotels we have today. Most time people come to town, they stay in a hotel. But there will be opportunities for you to welcome a stranger. And welcoming a stranger is the best way to show love in action. You see, somebody may come to your house. Are the pinchers open? Do they have to follow rules and regulations? When somebody comes to your house, a family member, they may bring a friend. My children always brought their friends to my house. People loved to come to my house. Why? Because they were so welcomed. Are people welcomed in your house? And when they come to your house, do you treat them as family? Paul reminds us it's so important to show hospitality. And when the church opens its doors, our welcome mat has to be, there you are. Welcome. We can't have the pinchers out. These are the things you have to follow. These are the rules. We want to say, hey, we're just glad you're here with us. And I hope and pray you feel welcome here. And anybody is welcome here. But this is your house. And we have to do the welcoming. And God makes a promise. We'll be blessed for that. There's a gospel reading that is found in the 10th chapter of Luke. And in this reading, Jesus sends out 72 disciples. And he speaks to them about hospitality. He says, now I'm going to send you out and you're really going to be like sheep among the wolves. And basically, this is how you're going to be welcomed. One of two ways. You go into a town, and when you go into somebody's house, say these words. Peace be upon this house. And if in that house there is a son of peace, that peace will be upon the house. And if not, that peace will return to you. And he basically says, knock the dust off your feet and go on. And it's interesting when you study that. Who is a son of peace in a home? Who is a son of peace in someone's house? That son of peace Jesus refers to is somebody who knows the peace that surpasses all understanding. Someone who knows the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. So for someone to be a son of peace, it's only through the Son of Peace, capital S, Jesus Christ. And if a son of peace or a daughter of peace welcomes another, peace comes upon them. In fact, it is Paul who in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, kind of gives not only a little warning, but an incentive and says these, remember to show hospitality to strangers because some have entertained angels and they weren't aware of it. You know, there's two examples in the Old Testament where that happens. Abraham welcomes strangers into his tent or house, and they happen to be angels, and he was blessed. Now, Lot is another example. He welcomes strangers into her house, but the city, the men of the city, knocked on his door, and they wanted to do to those strangers what ought not to be done. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The peace was removed. Let me share with you another letter that I did not record who wrote it or share bits and pieces because it was so short. The same time, 2nd century AD, this was the explanation of the difference. A Roman man will sleep with another male, will sleep with his mother, his sister, and his daughter, but not the Christians. Be transformed. Do not conform to the ways of the world. Be transformed. I'd like to close with another letter to you. Bits and pieces. A letter that was written two generations before Aristides wrote to Hadrian. We don't know exactly the numbers, but at least a generation or two. And I'm just going to give you the pieces and put it together. It was written by a man who was a Christian, who himself was transformed by the love and the grace of God. And this is what he writes, how he sees the Christian church and Christians. He says, they give their lives. They offer their bodies as living sacrifices. And they see that as part of their worship of the Creator of heaven and earth. They don't conform to the world and all the evil ways. No, they are transformed by the power of God and His Word through the Holy Spirit, and their minds are renewed on a daily basis. First and foremost, they don't think too highly of themselves. And when they look at the world, they do it soberly. They're not consumed by anything in the world or drunk on anything in the world. And they see themselves as a living body with individual members, one as important as the other, and with the gifts God gave them, they work together as a unit and help one another. And they're out to change the world. And they are so different because their love is genuine. It's not hypocritical. And we know that because they abhor evil. They know as a group that if you tolerate evil, eventually it will be accepted and quickly celebrated. And so when they see evil, they stand up and say, it is wrong. But yet, they welcome everybody else with brotherly love, and they have a zeal and a desire just to serve God. And they're so happy. You see them rejoicing all the time because they have such hope. They don't think just of this world, they think of the next. When they're celebrated anew in the Father's kingdom. And it's really amazing when they face trials and tribulations, just like everybody else, because they're no different. Everybody faces trials and tribulations. They're so patient, trusting God and knowing He's in charge. And boy, they're always on their knees praying for each other, for others, for the world, for you and for me. They continue it. And when they can, they reach deep into their pockets and they help one another. Whatever the cost. And when it comes to opening up doors, they are so welcoming. They are the originators of safe houses on every corner in every city. They truly are the originators of schools, orphanages, and most of the hospitals. They wake up in the morning and they thank God for His loving kindness. You see, when people see that, it'll change them. And it'll change the world. We're a part of that. And it is such a blessing. May people see that when they look at us. Amen.